Well, what we're asking governments to do is really look at a new form of road pricing that replaces the existing charges, but in a way that there's no additional impact on road users. You know, we've always paid for our case, but we do it indirectly through fuel excise, through registrations. You know, we've had tolls in more recent times. But in actual fact, we see there are real opportunities to bring roads more into line with other utilities that, you know, and take advantage of how we can actually link road user charges with construction, maintenance and safety. And those pricing structures would be overseen by an independent regulator. What this means for people in regional areas is this isn't just about adding tolls on top of what they're already paying. It's about, as you start to look at charging for road use, you start to pull off and reduce fuel excise, the cost of registration. But also importantly for people in rural and regional areas, you know, they won't be imposed on by things such as congestion charges, which would apply in the cities. So there's every likelihood that, in actual fact, the overall cost could reduce over time for people in those areas. And where there are rural areas that may need to make sure that their costs don't go up, there's always the ability for the government to come in and make sure that doesn't happen.
What would it do to road transport of goods, you know, food that comes off farms and so on and transported throughout Australia?
Well, for that, because we will have a lower cost in transporting it from the regional areas, then you would actually have to say that would improve not just the ability to transport those goods, but it would actually improve the return to those suppliers as well.
Moving on, I mean, it is a very broad report, but looking at a very specific problem for regional areas often become a bit of God's waiting room where, you know, the aged have very few choices for assistance. What are you advising the government look at with human services for regional areas?
Well, Serena, I think the area of human services is one that has the greatest potential for gain in our report. And the idea of the reforms is to increase consumer choice, and that's through providing a diversity of providers and service innovations. So in other words, enabling the user to be able to choose where they want to get their service from and what sort of service, rather than the government saying this is what you must have. But what we recognise is that in regional and rural areas, you know, we've got to make sure that you've got equity of access and that you've actually got minimum quality standards. And that's absolutely essential within the human services sector. So it's about enabling choice, but where choice may be harder to get, you know, we know we may not get lots of choice in those rural areas. We actually have to make sure we get access, and that is really important. And government has the ability to put in a community service obligation, for example, that ensures that can happen. The other thing that's very important to remember is that, you know, we say at the Regional Australia Institute, one size doesn't fit all. Our data shows that the regions are really diverse, and that's the same in human services. Whether it's education, whether it's health, whether it's aged care or disability, we're seeing governments starting to move into those areas. But we're actually saying, you know, you need to proceed carefully. You need to actually examine, once again, that one size doesn't fit all. So what's the right model for the particular service and the particular region?
So a private and public mix of, say, aged care for regional areas could be considered.
Oh, certainly so. And we've seen some examples of that, but, you know, we recommend putting in pilots and trials so we actually can really, one, learn from what, you know, the experiences we've already had, but also see how we can test that into the future.
So if we move on to supermarkets and the use of generic brands, it's been a bone of contention for not only farmers but also food suppliers. There's concern it damages competition in the long run. Are the current competition laws powerful enough, or will the strengthening of the effects test help the food suppliers in that home brand space?
Well, firstly, Serena, I'd say that, you know, robust, healthy competition is really what we want, and we've got to make sure that there aren't any barriers to people being able to enter the industry, but also be able to exit that industry. We've made a number of recommendations, and firstly in relation to Section 46, which is around the misuse of market power, what we've done is reframed that provision so it focuses on protecting competition, not individual competitors. And what we've also said is that we'll focus on anti-competitive behaviour, not pro-competitive behaviour. What that does is it does recognise that businesses will undertake different activities which will actually be good for the consumer and pro-competitive. And so we don't actually want to, chill competition in that respect, but we want to make sure that competition isn't harmed. So that reframing, we believe, will be a simpler and more consistent way of being able to really address any issues around the misuse of market power. But I should also talk about unconscionable conduct. Now, unconscionable conduct is something that looks at the behaviour in the supply chain. And this is something that's really important for farmers because, you know, particularly when they look at dealing with larger businesses in that supply chain, they don't want to see behaviour that is actually harming their business. And there have been some recent decisions by the ACCC against Coles, for example. And what we say is that those provisions, you should continue to review them, and if there are any deficiencies, then we need to look at remedying that as quickly as possible.
This Harper report is the first, serious review of competition policy in Australia for 20 years. There's been a huge input from regional Australia, not just yourself, Sue McCluskey of the Regional Australia Institute, but one of the other panel members has the background in regional business. What do you think is in it for regional Australia?
Look, I think, firstly, regional Australia often gets overlooked, you know, on matters that play out in the national arena. And so to be so centrally involved in such a major economic policy review, I think recognises just how important regional Australia is to the whole Australian economy. You know, a third of the population lives in regional Australia. But it also recognises how competition policy can really affect, you know, the regions and how we can get a vibrant and sustainable regional Australia. You know, we say if you invest in the regions, you invest in the whole of Australia. And I think it's been certainly a privilege to be able to represent rural and regional Australia on this panel and to be able to see the breadth of the reforms that, should these be taken forward, will actually make a significant difference, not just for competition policy, but to the future of the Australian economy.